Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wait.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Trying to be a better person today, you feel me, than I was yesterday. That's what I strive for every day I wake up. Give my nigga roses while they still here. I give my people roses while they still here. Give my nigga roses while they still here. I give my people roses, give my people roses. When I die, I tell the homies, spell my name out. Light 100 candles for the low, bring the gang out. And if you go first, trust me, I'ma do the same. Turn them for a week just to take away the pain. Appreciate my niggas while they still here. Give my people roses while they still here. One day we gon' disappear. Like damn, I was just with them. Got a call that the homie got shot and had his kids with him. Now I'm staring at the casket like fuck. It's hard to say goodbye to somebody that you love. Respect to the dead, but appreciate the living. Cause when God call, I can't question this business. Give me my roses while I'm still here to smell them. I got people that I love that's gone and can't tell them. It shouldn't take a hood day or a funeral to tap in. We need to connect more like we did back then. I give my nigga roses while they still here. I give my people roses while they still here. Give my nigga roses while they still here. I give my people roses while they still here. Give my nigga roses while they still here. I give my people roses while they still here. Give my nigga roses while they still here. I give my people roses. Give my people roses. This a dedication to niggas that I fuck with, appreciation due. Text my niggas or call them out the blue. Like I love you, homeboy, just in case you never knew. Told my homegirl I'm proud of her. Know you've been through a lot and you a proud mother. Last conversation, you was getting shit together. Know one thing for certain, man, shit don't last forever, right? One life to live, I got two fucks to give. Trying to mend a bridge between me and my kids. Build memories they can cherish and hold. Teach them never fold when the world get cold. Those are the things that mean the most to me. Not that fake love people show when you deceased. Gotta die to get love, you can keep it. I need all minds while I'm still here breathing. Give my nigga roses while they still here. I give my people roses while they still here. Give my nigga roses while they still here. I give my people roses while they still here. Give my nigga roses while they still here. I give my people roses while they still here. Give my nigga roses while they still here. I give my people roses. Give my people roses. Snoopy Blue, Lifeline, doing this for mine, A-Day, dedicated to the living, spiritually wealthy.
Yeah, we had to put up with some fire for y'all, man.
That track right there from Snoopy Blue titled Roses, straight fire, man. What it do, man? This is King Eric, Off the Cuff Radio, episode number 428 underway. My host T-Max with the facts in the building.
What it do, y'all? Another Super Sunday. We simply maxing and relaxing, and like King said, this is Off the Cuff Radio. We are sponsored by Core Financial, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Dirty Basement Radio, King Eric Productions, Da Vinci Clothing, and, of course, shout out to our co-host in spirit, Elada Sandman and Lady Chinchilla. We are live and direct. And tonight, our guest
Steph.
Is one of the most And tonight, our guest is one of the most hardest working, keeping it true blue to the game, all over the game, on the West Coast, born and raised in South Central. This is for all the Lokes and the Cousins, whether you East Coast, whether you neighborhood, whether you gangster, whether you 60, whether you 111, whether you 97, you know, it don't matter, man. You know, whether you Grape Street, for all our cousins out there, for all the Crips, this is one of the proud representatives of y'all cloth, man. Without a doubt, we welcome to Off the Cuff Radio, the one, the only, the Locust, Snoopy Blue. What it do, man?
What it do? What it do? Can you hear me?
We can hear you, man.
Yes,
what's
sir.
What's wrong with you?
Okay, what it do? What it blue, y'all? It's the Loke, man. Thank y'all for having me. You feel me?
Man, we're happy to have
yes,
you,
Yes, sir.
Man.
It's an honor, man.
Yes, it
Being
is.
One of those guys that's still putting it down for the West Coast, man, in the midst of the Renaissance, keeping it, as T-Mats would say, true blue, and still keeping it gangster. Welcome to the show, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Definitely, man. It's great to have you. So I guess, you know, we go ahead and get right into it, man. Tell us, you know, tell our audience a little bit about yourself, you know, how you got, you know, how you came into the game, you know, born and raised, you know, representing that Wild West, man. You know, the floor is yours. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, well, for those that don't know, I'm Snoopy Blue, you feel me? Born and raised, California, you know what I'm saying, South Central Los Angeles, off the east side, man. And, you know, music, I stepped into music just basically as an expression for me to, a way for me to express my inner thoughts. When I was a youngster, you feel me, I really wasn't talkative and just it was a way for me to express myself, you know what I mean? Fast forward, you know what I mean? You can make a living and make a lifestyle out of this shit. So that's what I did, man. Just try to flip shit, feed myself, my family, my loved ones, you feel me? And just keep shit going.
Definitely, man. So what was it like in terms of some of your early influences, in terms of who really inspired you to rap, in terms of how you really formulated your style, and what was it like, you know, during that time when you started coming along?
Well, I grew up listening to, you know, it was before gangster rap, so I grew up listening to, like, Kwame, Big Daddy Kane, UTFO, Fat Boys, you know, Run DMC, Houdini, shit like that, you know what I mean? Gangster rap came in, and it shows you that you can really, really express yourself, you know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? And W.A., shit, Ice-T, Toddy T, you know what I mean? Everybody that was putting it down in the early years. And just let you know, like, shit, man, say what you got to say and express yourself, you know what I mean? Be confident in what you say and, you know what I mean, deliver that shit to the world because somebody's going to be able to relate to it. And the more people that can relate to it, the more people you can reach, you feel me? So
That's
where I'm at with it.
I'm glad that you mentioned that because you know how they do. You know how they do. They treat the 80s rappers, the 80s MCs that come out, they treat it like them niggas didn't even exist. So it's a beautiful thing that you paying homage to these cats, man, letting them keeping their name out there and let them know that they are key influences to why things are the way they are today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think the 80s rap is forgot about. It's just like, you know, anything that has the beginning stages of it, you know what I mean? They really don't get the credit that they deserve, you feel me? But you know, it's a young crowd right now, so a lot of the youngsters wasn't there when they was, you know what I'm saying, doing their thing, and they don't really know You know what I mean? Like, if you ask some people who beat it, that they wouldn't even know that that's a sample from some back in the day, because, you know, they wasn't around back then or probably never heard it. You feel me? So, you know, everything repeats itself.
Yeah, man. And from that perspective, that's called being a student of the game, because you, of course, got to pay homage to the legends that come before. One thing about the West Coast is when y'all really began to come up on it, man, of course, everybody looks at NWA, you know, as being the first, but they weren't in terms of gangster rap. You know, Ice-T, all due respect, you know, really, you know, for the West Side, you know, representing, you know, Five, you know, Hoover, you know, he was, you know, one of the first out there from the West Coast to really do gangster rap. And even before then, when you look at Schoolie D on the East Coast, you know, this is who Ice-T said he got his style from in terms of how he started rapping. You know, so when you're looking at it, there's always an intrinsic link between the street and hip-hop, because hip-hop is a street culture. So,
yeah, I mean, it came from the street.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so once it got to y'all, y'all put another spin on it in terms of really telling it from a street perspective. Now, when we look at it from where it started, because NWA really was the one to kick the door down for y'all, because this would open up the door for, you know, Compton's Most Wanted. This would open up for King T, DJ Quick, you know, of course, you know, Cam, you know, that's later down the line, you know, a few years later down the line. I mean, the relatives, shout out Big Y, you know.
Yeah.
I shouted out Big Y because, you know, you and him have collaborated, I believe, on a track. Is that correct?
Yeah, back in the day, courtesy of the Young Hawks, I was on the track with Big Y.
Yeah, man. So in terms of it, tell us about going back to when you really got in the game in terms of like your first year of it, because I believe it was 2010 when you appeared on Spider Loaf's Blutiful World remix. Is that correct, or was it a little bit before that?
Yeah, it was before that. It was like around 2007, I believe.
Okay.
When Blutiful World had dropped, but I was rapping before it.
Okay, that 2007.
Was like the world getting a dose of who I was, you feel me? I got an album I put out prior to that called My Life, Let Me Live It, which I put out through S-Mac, spelled E-S-M-A-C, but I'm from the East Side, so I spelled the E-S, you know what I mean? But it's pronounced S-Mac, which was short for Snoop Mac, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the world got introduced to me about around 2005, because I actually had some shit I did prior to doing the Blutiful World, where I was already making noise, you know what I'm saying, on the street scene and all that, and that's what really caught his attention, because one of my homies was playing one of my songs at a video shoot that was at, you feel me, and that's how me and him end up linking up and going to the studio and doing music together, so...
Definitely. Now, I know that was special because you and Spider both represent East 97, you know, so it's like, you know, that's a subset of ECC. So I know that was particularly special for you, but before y'all got the link on that, what was it like in terms of when you got out on the block and you started, you know, doing the music? Tell us about what it's like in terms of the politics moving around in L.A., because y'all got a grind like no other in terms of how independently y'all move. What was it like, you know, during those early days, just getting your name out there, you know, doing the shows, you know, or just, you know, rapping on the block, just whatever in terms of getting everybody to, you know, check you out. You're like, okay, yo, you know, Loke got some lyrics.
Yeah, well, back then, I'm saying it was like the hungry years where niggas was like really, you know what I'm saying, perfecting their craft back then. Like, it really wasn't cool to say you a gang member / rapper, you feel me? Niggas used to be like, oh, you trying to do that, look, you know what I mean? So it was like, me, I really didn't give a fuck, because music was an escape for me. Like, okay, a nigga used to live in this certain way, so with music, it was like I was able to just explore, like, you feel me? So I can work with different people and, you know, just do shit that I want to do. Like, I feel I'm an artist, not just a rapper, but an artist. So, you know, it was cool for me, but it was like a line being drawn because niggas was like, you know, niggas was thinking it wasn't cool. You feel me? Then it became cool, and everybody wanted to do it. You feel me? So it never really affected me because I was going to do it regardless, whether it was cool or not. It was just something that I was always intrigued with, you feel me, doing music. And like I said, it was a way for me to express myself.
Definitely.
Now you guys coming in, you know, coming in, now being that you guys come from the West Coast and you have what we would consider that authentic background, did you bump into some type of issues when it came to people really wanting to, like, rock with your music?
I mean, of course, because people were scared to take chances, you know what I mean? A lot of people that they were taking chances on was fucking up, you feel me, not really appreciating the opportunity, you know? So, you know, people would invest money in them, they would go to jail, you know what I mean, get killed or, you know, be catching cases and, you know, just a liability to the company. So, yeah, people were scared to take chances on, you know, certain things because it's an investment and nobody want to lose money, you feel me? So, you know, a person has to learn how to grow, how to move, mature, how to handle itself and, you know, not be so easy just to be a victim of bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, people set a trap for you, you know, they know your temper is short, you quick to bite and do some bullshit and then, you know, you in a world of bullshit over something that wasn't even worth it, you feel me? So, you know, just learning how to maneuver, man, just maturing, you feel me? Being a better person and just appreciating opportunities, you know what I mean? I can better your situation, your life, you know what I mean? You gotta gravitate to that and just, you know, take full advantage, man. Sometimes we miss opportunities because we be lost on bullshit.
And that's real, Snoop, because when you look at the situations of what was going on out west, because like you said at the time, it wasn't, you know, necessarily like, and we've talked about this on the show before, King and myself, about, because we, you know, we're older, you know, he's 37, I'm 43, but our love for the West Coast goes back since we were, you know, knee-high in the sandbox, you know what I'm saying, in terms of when we were kids. So we also made a point, out of respect for y'all, to really understand the politics in terms of where you all represent, because back in the day, like you said, for a lot of gang, you know, for a lot of niggas, and we just don't say straight out say, you know, for a lot of niggas just banging, you know, if you knew from that side, because we, you know, King's in North Carolina, I'm in Virginia, so we didn't necessarily understand a lot of those politics, but, you know, when this stuff started coming out there, you know, like, and we can only say this on the air because, you know, this is factual and on off the cuff, we always try to be as, you know, accurate as possible. You know, we know Ice-T was representing from the blue side, of course, NWA, rest in peace, Easy. Shout out, you know, Yella, we had on the show, great guy. You know, Dre, Ren, you know, Q, you know, we know Easy, and Ren were representing Kelly Park, you know, even though it wasn't necessarily shouted on their, you know, album. You know, later on, Compton's Most Wanted, shout out to MCA, Boom Bam, Chill and all them. They were representing, you know, Trag News. You know, DJ Quick will come later, representing Treetop Hybrid.
Well, back then, it was like...
Yeah, go ahead.
Even though niggas was representing, it was like more of a mystery. Like, you really didn't know where niggas was from, you know what I mean? Because they would get, like, little clues, a little, you know what I mean, subliminal messages. I don't really know who the first nigga that came out and actually said, nigga, I'm from Woo Woo, but then it was like, whoa, it might have been Quick, I'm not sure, you feel me? But yeah, Quick was like the jump start of certain shit, you feel me? Because he really started just like letting niggas know, like, nigga, this is what it is, you know what I mean? But back then, it was like, yeah, we knew niggas was affiliated, but nobody actually came out and said where they were from, because it was still that stage of, can I say that? Like, you feel me? Is that cool? Like, you feel me? Like I said, it was like a you know, people trying to see, push the envelope. Okay, he said this. Okay, well, he said this. Well, maybe I can say this. You know what I mean? Like, even the whole NWA thing. You know, when they start saying nigga and, you know, fuck the police and all this type of shit, motherfuckers was like, whoa, you can say that? Then it's like, okay, well, let me say this. But, you know, it was a time where niggas really didn't pinpoint where they were from. You had to either know or guess.
Right. Like with Compton's Most Wanted.
And you know what?
Yeah.
And you know what? And you know what? They was also real, not slick, but you know, they was very secretive with their affiliation. Y'all remember, if you even look at Boys in the Hood, you would see that even Trey and Ricky were affiliated with Crip, but they would wear blue all through the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like King said, because I wasn't familiar with the gang politics out there in L.A., you know, and this was before I really started studying it, even at a young age, because, of course, you know, the dudes that killed, you know, Ricky, you know, they were representing Red, you know, which was Blood, you know, so it was like, you know, and I guess I can say this on the air to a degree, because it was talked about in King Magazine, because they talked about the situation with Ice Cube in that movie, because Ice Cube knew a lot of Crips coming up, and they initially mm-hmm. didn't wanted him to play the villain. But, you know, he's like, mm-hmm. I'm not doing that because of my hood, you know, because, you know, Q wasn't banging, but Q was affiliated, you know, with a lot of Crips, you know, and that's how they mm-hmm. kind of had to change up the script a little bit in terms of how he ended up, because he ended up wearing black, which you could say was a neutral color, although I know Avalon, if I'm not mistaken, Avalon 88, I think that's their primary color, black as well. You know what I'm saying? Shout out G Magic. You know, so
yeah, shout out Magic. That's my guy. Shout out Magic.
Yeah, really good guy, man. Shout out G Magic. So you know, AKA the Black Bin Laden. You know, so these politics run deep. So when we talk about it, Snoopy, we're looking at it from a level of as the music begins to come, because, you know, with it's the Compton thing, you know, with Straight Outta Compton, their debut album. You know, that was a blue cassette. You know, and back in the day, we in 89, it was like, we couldn't really, like, you know, we thought it was dope as hell, but we were like, yo, what's up with this blue cassette? But y'all out there knew what it was. You know? And,
yeah, because back then, like I said, it was subliminal messages, you know what I mean,
right.
being sent, you feel me, because people didn't know, you know what I mean? Like, even the gang culture, like, you know, like you said, Boys in the Hood. Well, Boys in the Hood is like two things. Like, see, one thing growing up, you know, in L.A., you know, the gang culture, you know what I'm saying, where you from, all that. But also,
right,
what Boys in the Hood touched on that people might probably not realize is that it also shows the side of the non-affiliate and what they went through. Because, see, you didn't even have to gangbang. But if you didn't gangbang and niggas was really on your head, then it goes to, oh, well, nigga, where you stay at? And then it's like, well, goddamn, you want my address? Like, you feel me? Like, what the fuck is it? Like, you know what I mean? I told you I'm not affiliated. Now,
right,
I'm under pressure because of where I stay at, and that's not even my fault, nigga. I stay where I stay because that's where my grandparents raised me. You feel me? Or my mom raised me. Like, so that was the aspect of the whole Ricky thing. You know what I mean? He wasn't a gang member, but he was caught up because of where he stayed at, who his brother was. You know, who he was affiliated with. Even being
right.
a non-gang member, you go through shit because people look at you as a certain way. Or niggas have an attitude and they just looking for bullshit. So they gonna fuck with you either way it go. You know what I mean? So in some cases, people ended up gangbanging, not necessarily because they wanted to, but it was like, shit, nigga, I'm getting jumped because of where I stay at anyway. I might as well be a part of, because, you know what I mean? It's like, let's even the playing field. You feel me? So that was the whole thing with Ricky. You know what I mean? He wasn't a banger, but he just got caught up.
You know, Snoopy, I don't think we've ever had anybody break that down in such a candid and such a, I mean, that was just about as just amazing an analogy,
yeah, because
in terms of the politics. Yeah, I don't think we've ever had anyone just break it down from the nuance, the minutia of it, because this is when we look at cinema during that time, because it was in 1991 when it was released. Shout out to the late great John Singleton, because we wanted to ask you this from two perspectives, because this is also the same year of, you know, the Rodney King beating, and then this movie comes out. To this day, unless somebody wants to, and we, our YouTube channel is open. We do not censor anybody from commenting, so when this hits the air, people can comment if I get it wrong. I don't think we ever had a movie from the West Side as accurately, because this is basically the triumvirate of the West Coast cinema in the 90s. It was Boys in the Hood that started it. Then we would have Menace to Society. Because when you break down, it's like a family member. You have it.
Hold up, not to cut you off. I got to go back. You forgot one that came before all of that. Colors.
Okay.
Colors was before all of that.
Yeah, Colors. Thank you. I knew I was missing one. Thank you. Yeah, because Colors was basically, a shout out to Oliver Stone. So when we look at Colors, Colors is kind of like when we really start seeing, because this is, you're absolutely right, Snoop, because this is where we start seeing Colors, you know, really kind of, we're seeing the colors, but we're not necessarily seeing hoods per se more than it is.
Yeah, it was just like the introduction to the blood thing, like letting people know, like, whoa, shit, what the fuck is this? Like, you know, because a lot of people, and, you know, us as blacks, we imitate shit. So we used to the Scarfaces and the Italian Mafia, so
right.
All that type of shit. But when the colors came, it was like, whoa, this is us. This is what we doing. So it was like a culture shock, you feel me? And it wasn't necessarily about particular hoods. It was just giving you a glimpse of the inside infrastructure of the criminal black lifestyle that we call gangbanging, you know. But, yeah.
Man, look, I remember when I first heard Ice Cube with that joy, I was like, yeah, when me and King first heard that when we was young, we was like, whoa.
we all were. I mean, because like I said, it was like, whoa, did he just say, did he, you know what I mean? And it was like, for people that was really in the streets or living that life, I wouldn't care what city or state you was from, it was like you could relate to it because that shit was really going on. You feel me? I was just telling somebody the other day, because I was doing another interview, and they was asking about the rap battle shit. And I was telling them, like, you know, that shit started from the streets, and somebody seen it, and, you know, like, you know what, let's make this a platform. So they made a whole platform and a whole energy around it to where that's a whole different, it's a thing now, you feel me? The battle rap scene, but it all started from the street. So I'm pretty sure niggas was really rapping on the street like that in New York, probably before NWA, but nobody thought that they can push the envelope that far until they came and actually did it. So it was like a culture shock, like, oh my God, like, whoa, like it was a breath of fresh air and a shock at the same time.
Yeah,
because you know the way things was portrayed back, the way things was portrayed from the movies, from the music, it made L.A. look real scary for a lot of people, especially tourists or people coming from the outside.
Well, yeah, but shit, niggas in L.A. look at other areas as scary, like Chicago, for instance. It's just like, shit, it's bad out there, you know what I mean? It's bad everywhere, so it's just like, it just put a scope on us, because we were doing something unique, but at the end of the day, it was gangs establishing other states and shit, too. They just wasn't tripping off maybe the red or blue thing, you feel me? Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was us. But, yeah, it was, man, it was like, yeah, it made L.A., you know, I've been out of state, you know, people see you with a L.A. or a Compton, you know, hat or shirt on, they just want to sit down and conversate with you and really like, man, is it really like, the TV and the movies portray the shit. And it's like, yeah, no. You feel me? Because that's just like, you just got to know what to do. You know what I mean? It was a time, you know, it's kind of different now, but back in the days, yeah, it was a time you didn't want to be caught in red or blue in certain areas. You know, niggas is tripping. Now, you know, it's kind of commercialized to where niggas wear what they want to wear. But, yeah, it looked real scary to the rest of the world. You know what I mean? But like I said, it's shit that looks scary to us. Like when I heard about you can't go to this city or state and you can't wear your hat this way or that way, or is leaning this way, you apart. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody creates their own swag. So you mean to tell me if I step off the plane over here in this state, and if I'm wearing my hat to the backwards, and it's a little bit slanted to the left, that I'm going to be affiliated? You know what I mean? It's just like, it might sound crazy, but that's just the way shit is.
Yeah. And when we look at it, Snoopy, when we look at Boys in the Hood, I think, because like you said, like you know, you really gave that a fact about Colors. When we look at Boys in the Hood, I think that's why that movie was so poignant, was it actually looked at it, because we were looking at Colors from a, like you said, a generalized perspective and from the law enforcement side. So when we see Boys in the Hood, we're seeing
it's
this.
It's more so like our perspective.
It's a coming of age movie. So it's like, this is how I broke it down from those three, Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, and South Central. So we have Boys in the Hood. This is like a coming of age. It's like that kid who is like, you know, just trying to find his way through all the madness. Then you have Menace to Society. That's like that badass cousin that's always into some shit. And then you have South Central as the older and wiser, you know, OG that understood what was going on and is trying to get, you know, trying to give that guidance. So that's how you break it down from how, from my end of how all three of those movies are related, you know, indirectly, because they're all in separate universes in that cinema because they're not connected, but the spirit of it. So
The Good Kid, Mad City.
Also,
Yeah.
Also on Boys in the Hood, it's another thing people might not realize, you know, or they might have looked over and it flew over their head, but it also showed how, you know, like in elementary school, you know, everybody know each other, you know what I mean? So we might have went to school with each other. Around like junior high, high school, niggas start choosing up. Oh, this nigga from this here, this nigga from over there. So on Boys in the Hood, remember Ice Cube knew the nigga that he ended up killing because they had went to school together. You feel me? They knew each other's name, all that type of shit. Knew each other's name, all that shit. But as they got older, you know, the nigga chose the red side, Cube chose this side, and then they end up being enemies. But they actually went to school with each other. And that's how shit really went. Like, niggas grew up with each other, might have knew each other, you know, from church or elementary, whatever. But then as junior high hit, and then the gangs got involved, because by the time you hit junior high, nigga, you're going to be from somewhere. By the time you're in high school, you from somewhere. You feel me? And then that's where the segregation started. But a lot of niggas actually grew up with each other. You feel me?
Yeah, you know, whether you're from Morningside, whether you're from Centennial, whether you're from Inglewood, whether you're from Fremont, you know what I'm saying, whether you're from, you know, Compton Dominguez, you know, Long Beach Poly. Yes, I'm shouting all y'all high schools out on the west side. What it is.
Hey, you forgot about Lock and Washington, man. Shout out Lock High and Washington High, baby.
Yeah, man. Can't forget Washington, of course. So, yeah, I mean, so it's like, you know, as you as a youngin', I mean, when we have K-Day Radio and all that back in the day out there, you know, shout out to Julio G and all the, you know, of course, you know, all the, you know, the clubs like the Palladium, you know, Skate World and all that. What was it like in terms of the party scene and just the streets of it in terms of, like, once y'all really get hip-hop on the radio and you as a youngin', like, really absorbing all of this and just having fun before you even get into rap?
Yeah, it was the same thing. It was fun, but it was dangerous at the same time because, you, like I said, you have the gang element. And, you know, even today, you got to realize everybody that's at a party ain't there to party. You feel me? You got niggas going there just to see who they can jack or rob or get into it with. You know what I mean? Everybody at the party ain't there to party. So it was cool, but then you had the jackers. You had the niggas that was there for bullshit. You feel me? You know, it might be 20 niggas there to party, but then it might be 20 niggas there for bullshit too. So shit always used to crack to where, you know what I mean? I think that's where the dress code come in at. You know what I mean? You couldn't wear certain clothes or, you know, dress a certain way to get in the club because they felt that was going to attract bullshit. You feel me? So it was cool, but it was also dangerous. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, everybody ain't there to have a good time.
Especially when you came out there fresh. Like, you know, always had those cats with the group with the Dookie gold chain and the Raider hat.
Oh, yeah, man.
Or the starter jacket.
Target. Hey, you know what? This is a little history lesson in a lot of this shit. But you know how many rappers and got robbed out here in L.A.? And that ain't no, you know, trying to knock nobody. You know what I mean? Because nobody wants to get robbed. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, that was the thing, you know, niggas coming out with them fat ropes and them chains and the Gucci chains and the Fila suits, and, you know, niggas used to take niggas' shoes on the back of the, on the RTD, you feel me? It was just like I said, it was, you had to be somebody, know somebody, be with somebody. I mean, it was dangerous, you feel me? If you came out fresh, you better be ready to protect your freshness, you know?
And I mean, that's just the life out there.
And they say protect your neck.
Yeah, shit, protect your neck, your feet, your arm, everything, man. Niggas was wild, man. I mean, I didn't see it. Like, you feel me? Like, nigga, you know, back in the days, it was RTD, you know what I'm saying? And shit, niggas used to get their shoes took and they coats took on the back of the bus, man. And, you know, it might sound crazy, 20 niggas robbing a nigga for a pair of shoes, but they can't all wear them, but shit, they took them.
Now, one thing about it, Snoopy, because you've been a vetted, you're vetted this because you've been doing this for some years now. So as you started, you know, really getting in, what was it like when you realized that your music was really taking off? Like everybody was fucking with you. What was it like actually, you know, doing shows, you know, getting collaborations? Tell us about that.
Well, music has been a life-changing experience for me. You feel me? It made me realize that I had the ability to do certain things. I had the ability to fuck with certain people, go certain places that I wouldn't probably necessarily go or fuck with due to the fact of where I grew up or where I was from or who I was around. You know what I mean? One thing that I did do when I took this music shit seriously was like, I'm not going to take my street mentality into this part of my life because if I wanted to do that, then I might as well stay on the block. So once I started doing music, it's like I might fuck with, you know, I was one of the first East Side niggas, I could say, probably not going to say one of the first neighborhood niggas because I know niggas from the neighborhood that did it, and I don't, you know how far back, but I was one of the first East Side neighborhood niggas to do a song with a nigga from Hoover, you feel me, because I was like, man, the homie was hard, and I felt like, shit, why not give this nigga a chance? And for those that don't know, you know, Hoover is a gang that really don't get along with nobody else, you know what I'm saying? They stand alone. And shit, I ended up, you know, at the time my nigga Tuff was, you know, doing the gangster rap scene. My nigga changed his life right now. He called Just a Messenger, you know what I mean? He's doing it for God right now. But what I'm saying is, back when he was, you know, doing the shit that I do, and we was doing this gangster rap shit, I was one of the niggas that took a chance and like, man, let me fuck with dude. And even though our hoods didn't get along, I really liked it, dude, and wanted to break that barrier. Like, man, let's connect. So music changed my life as far as who I can fuck with. And then once I did start fucking with different people, I started realizing, like, man, this nigga cool. Like, these niggas cool. Like, this nigga might be cooler than some of my own homies. Like, it really broke the barrier of fuck with other people that I probably wouldn't normally fuck with.
And that's huge, dope, man. That is dope because, you know, like, you know, what it is, Snoop, is what we've seen over the years is we've seen kind of that wall coming down a little bit, like you said, you know. One of the most beautiful examples of it, shout out, you know, repping 60, the late, great Nipsey, you know, and, of course, you know, YG representing, you know, TTP, you know, and how they came together and really, really, really brought crews together. You know, and it really showed that at the end, you know, we, you know, it's like niggas can have different sides they come from, but at the end, we all from the street and we respect each other's gangster no matter where we from. And it's not, and we're not going to set trip over the shade, you know, giving each other shade. You know, we got these colors coming together, you know, being brothers with it, man. I mean, I'm still reminiscing on the joint you kicked on Beautiful World. Said everything glued from the shirt to the shoestring, rim to the car, earrings to the chain. Yeah, bang. Can't you tell from the color, Snoopy? Blue and the mink in the middle of the summer chilling. My birthstone blue. Ain't that a trip? A coincidence? Nah, I was born a crip. It's a blue
sign.
The house blue. Trip blue. And every time you see Snoopy, he is something blue.
He's something blue.
The sky blue. The world blue is mine. Sipping blue way his sea like the blue line. Off of blue puma. Never mind the blue rumor.
Hey.
Bumping Bobby blue. Blowing on some blue.
Never mind the blue
rumor. This one blue. Cause them blue guys stay skipping like blue flags. This show when niggas tripping. I'm in blue more than your whole hood. Nigga, why did they call me Pistol Snoopy Blue, nigga? Yes.
All right, that was real. That was fat. Every line, every word, every bar was straight fat. Blue has been my favorite color since, oh my God, I mean, I can go back to high school. You feel me? That was my color. Like, you know what I mean? And shit, it was just destined that, I'm not going to say destined to be a Crip, like that's a good thing, but I'm just saying, like, my house was blue,
right.
Pretty blue. Like, it wasn't nothing that I invented. That was my grandparents. It's been blue before I was thought of. It was blue while I was here. My birthstone is blue. Matter of fact, Libra gang, my birthday is Wednesday. You feel me?
Alright.
But yeah, my birthstone blue. My favorite color blue. It was just like every time niggas see me, I was in blue. That's how I got the name Snoopy Blue. You feel me? My name was always Snoopy, whatever. But the homegirls see me, you know, consistent with my blue clothing. So she was like, Snoopy Blue. And that shit kind of clean. Like, hey, I like, you know what? I'm going to take that and run with it. You feel me? And shit, it was a lifestyle, man. Before me, it wasn't no, it was one blue. That was Shabby Blue. I ain't heard of no other nigga named Blue besides Shabby Blue before me. Now you got all kind of blues. And, you know, that's cool. You feel me? But like I said, that shit was real life. It wasn't no gimmick, no game, none of that shit. That's really my life. That's really my image. That's really my get out.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at that era, you're one of those rappers that really started, because of course we know the grandfather, you know, the legend, who we love and affectionately call Uncle Snoop, you know, when he started, you know, kind of, back in the day when he started, you know, because he was always 20. Shout out Long Beach, you know. But it was like, you know, we started seeing that come out when he started mentioning it more. So then, of course, later on, we would see Dove C, you know, really come out with it more. He was the one that kind of really brought the Crip walk to prominence, although it's already been out there. You know, it's already been out there. You know, shout out 111. You know, so it's like, you know, you're part of this generation that really is embracing, you know, those roots that you have and really, you know, coming out with it, you know, from the
and then let me just say something. When I first came out, a lot of people told me to tone it down. Like, man, you got to, you know, you hard, man, but you got to tone it down, man. You know, you got to stop saying this. You got to stop saying that. You got to stop. And I'm like, man, what, man, why I can't be myself? Then fast forward, every rapper that comes out is affiliated. Every rapper that comes out is from somewhere. So I'm scratching my head like, man, y'all told me I can't do this. And now it seems like you have to be from somewhere in order to rap. So that shit was kind of confusing to me because I really was just, I wasn't dissing nobody. I was just representing where I was from. You feel me? Like Nipsey, you know what I'm saying? Nipsey took the blueprint. You know what I'm saying? He repped where he was from. He never really, you know, if you go back in his old shit, you might hear a song or two where he might have dissed, but he was all about representing where he was from. That was it. It wasn't about putting nobody else down. But niggas said, I couldn't do it, man. You got to tone it down, Snoopy Blue, man. You can't really, like, even Blutiful World. A nigga got slack behind that. You feel me? Niggas like, oh, it's a Crip song, whoop. And it was just like, it was just a gang of bullshit. But then, like I said, fast forward, everybody that comes out now was affiliated. They're from somewhere. They're throwing up a hood. And it's like, man, y'all said we couldn't do this shit. Now it's cool. You know what I mean?
Now it's marketable.
That shit was kind of crazy.
Yeah, they even selling jeans on Amazon with a rag in it.
Yeah, man, they just taking, like I said, they taking the culture which started out on the streets, like you mentioned Dove C, for instance. Crip walking, niggas know that was a dance that's been around for the Crips, like, forever. You feel me? But Dove C made it commercial because he was one of the first ones to take it to the main stage, and he shocked the world because the world didn't really see that. They're like, man, what the fuck is that? What is he doing? And, you know, Crip walking is hard. That shit looks good for those that know how to do it. So
yeah.
Now, you know, you had,
he make it,
you know,
easy.
Bow Wow had came out, you know, everybody started Crip walking. And then, you know, the niggas that really gangbang took offense to that because it was like, man, how they going to take our shit when it was something sacred? Like, you feel me? But like I said,
right.
They take everything, starts from the street. They find a way to package it and put it on the shelf and sell that shit. You got commercialized.
And yeah, and you know one thing, Snoopy, when we talk about that, because I'm glad you brought that up. Because you're giving us
a lot of people might know this, but the Jerk did. The jerk started at a hood party in the hood. Now, I have a few people that can vouch for this. I'm the nigga that started the Jerk. The Jerk started from the Snoopy Blue dance. I used to have a Snoopy Blue dance. I did at the motorcycle club and at hood parties and shit when I used to rap with the top skills and all this type of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Niggas go to the party and do they all dance.
start doing it. I remember when you couldn't even do the jerk dance because niggas thought, oh, man, them niggas from over there.
You was doing a certain thing. But then the shit got commercialized, and then here comes the whole movement on jerk. But jerk was something that was sacred. It started in at a hood party.
Okay, more history. I mean, damn. I mean, you're just dropping all types of, you know, gems on us with it. So when we look at this, it's great you're bringing all this up, Snoopy, because we got to talk about where all this was. Because, of course, when Dub C started doing it, he's just paying homage to his set, you know, 111. But it was something that, you know, the masses across the board had not seen. And that wasn't his fault everything turned the way that it did, but it's just like it became a thing because, you know.
I mean, if he wouldn't have did it, somebody else would have did it. I mean, it's not his fault.
Right.
People are going to say, well, we do anyway. I was just telling somebody the other day, the little shoes and shit with little spikes and all that type of shit on it, right? I said, man, mm-hmm. that shit started from a person at their house doing a do-it-yourself type of, you know what I'm saying, shit. They was doing, you know, they did their own shit. Some big company seen that shit, came along, took their idea, made it theirs, and now they selling $2,000 shoes, which started out was probably like a $5 project. You feel me? All they do is take what we do and commercialize that shit. You feel me?
It's called cultural appropriation. I mean, let's call it for what it is because you got a lot of people that are going to be fraudulent in it. You're true from the turf in terms of keeping it true blue, Snoopy. Over the past few years, well, pretty much the past decade and a half, we've seen a proliferation of game banging really become prevalent in the hip-hop culture in terms of
mm-hmm.
those that really represent it and then those who try to act like they represent it, you know?
Right.
We will speak on the ones who we know are true to it, whether it be you, whether it be Game, whether it be Nipsey, whether it be Mozzie, you know, some of the new heads coming out, like, you know, Brenhurst Baby, Shooter, you know, MB Nail. Shout out to Stupid Young in Long Beach. For those that ain't heard Stupid, y'all need to get familiar. That boy, that Asian boy is amazing. You know, all y'all represent that, you know. But also, too, inevitably, you're going to find a lot of heads coming in there who basically never lived in California. And then all of a sudden, you know,
CB4.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. What I think it is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think gangbanging got commercialized. And people feel that they have to be affiliated with something to be somebody. You know, that was the misguided shit that they were taught or, you know, believed. Like, I have to be affiliated or be this or that to be somebody, when really all you have to do is be yourself. Like, back in the day, you know, just, you know, gangbanging is different today than back in the day. It's not really based on, and I'm not trying to justify gangbanging because you can never right or wrong. You feel me? So I'm not trying to justify shit, but I'm just saying it was different structure and rules back in the day to where, you know, you really didn't want to gangbang back in the day. Like, you feel me? Like, it wasn't a cool thing to do. Like, oh, mama, you know, guess what? I joined the hood today. Like, no, it wasn't no shit like that. But today, it is. Like, you know what I mean? Niggas feel like they got a badge of honor because they're affiliated or they're from somewhere, and that's the fucked up, you know, shit that we created. And when I say we as a people, like, you know what I mean? We created some bullshit to just keep us back, you know, further. But, you know, what it is, like I said, I was rapping when it wasn't even cool to be a gangbanger and a rapper. Then all of a sudden, you had to be a gangbanger in order to be a rapper. You feel me? It's just like shit just flipped, you know, because the world evolved, good or bad. So people just feel like they had to be from somewhere to be something or be somebody. And you know, that's the illusion of this shit.
Yeah. And when we look at it, though, Snoop, we're looking at it from American culture in general, because when you look at how this country was founded on revolution and bucking the system, when we were fighting to get from under the crown in England, you know, this is why an American culture is so ingrained to just be, wow, what, no matter what color you are, because we fought to get out from, you know, we fought to get out from under it. So we already had an anti-establishment attitude. So when you look at American culture in general, we've always had a fascination with the outlaw, you know,
in terms of
whether it be gang banging, whether it be, you know, John Gotti, the mafia, you know, the outlaws of the old West, you know, I mean, we've always had that fascination of those living outside of it, making their own rules. It's become, in a sense, that alpha attitude of anti-conformity, you know, we're going to, you know, but one thing about it is people have to understand is once you get out there, and it's always been some real shit because, you know, King and myself, we've done hundreds of shows, as so many guests, talked to people on the air and off the air. We know people that really, really were out there. You know, we're not mentioning no names, but they were always talking about how, you know, what we did, you know, it was just because we had to survive. But as we progressed, like you said earlier, Blue, it was like we were looking at a situation how we could better our lives from this, you know, and we had to separate our street mentality from our business approach.
Exactly.
And, Go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, you know, hip-hop is the only culture where people feel that they can be the outlaw, you know what I mean? Like, you think it's not gang members in the NFL or in the NBA, but you don't see them representing on the field, you know what I mean? They sit that shit to the side and do their job. I mean, you know, you might see a motherfucker chunk it up here and there, but I'm just saying, it's just you know what I mean? Like, the thing, like, they walking on the field with they rag on, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's just certain shit you don't see. Whereas in hip-hop, you know, a nigga walking on stage, he got his rag, he got his hood on his shirt, he got, you know what I mean? It's just certain shit that you don't see. You feel me? And one thing that I, you know, even back in the days, you know what I'm saying, if you look at the early days of hip-hop, you know what I mean, if you pay attention, niggas was, I'm not going to call it per se gang banging, but niggas was banging on each other. You know what I'm saying? You had the Bronx versus Brooklyn or, you know, this, you know, certain shit. You know what I mean? So it's always been sectioned off. You feel me? You know, my block is better than yours. You know, that type of mentality. So it's always been competitive as far as that. You know what I mean? But, you know, like I said, it's just a thing to do now. It's like cool. It's just like back in the days, it was cool to wear a Kango. You know, today it's cool to wear a Gucci belt. Well, now it's cool to say you from here. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, like I said, shit evolved, good or bad. You know what I mean? It's just like the cool thing to do now, you know, to say you from somewhere. That's why you got gangs all across the world. You know, they got fascinated by the shit just like we did. You know what I mean? As a kid, growing up in the hood, I remember my first time seeing a gang member, you know what I mean? I was in the car with my grandmother rolling down the street, and I was probably about 10 or 11, and I seen a little kid on some handlebars with a dude that was like 16, you know, riding him on the bike and all that. And when he seen me, and I'm young, and I'm his age, this nigga hit me up with gang signs, had a blue rag around his neck, and I was like, what the fuck is this? But I was fascinated. I was like, at that moment, I was like, man, I want to be a Crip. Like, I was just fascinated with the shit, you feel me? And, you know, that's how the shit just spread, you know, like cancer across the world because everybody was fascinated with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, and one thing about it, I mean, when Cube did that joint, you know, My Summer Vacation off of the 1991 release.
Oh, my God.
You know,
song was a...
Yeah.
I was just listening to that song like probably a week and a half ago. Man, that song right there, that is... gospel. You're right. When Cube did that song, that was another culture shock because he really exposed some shit like, is this what, you know what I mean? It was like, because that shit was really happening. And he really told us, I mean, he painted the picture so vivid with that song. It was like you was living that shit. Like, nigga, we out in St. Louis, like, man, that shit, man, that song is a classic.
Another song I like to add too. In regards of how different territories and different states, you know, they had their ways of showcasing gang life was just like Compton. Like, well, from DJ
Quick.
Oh, yeah. Because that's the, and that was another real song, because Really Quick was telling y'all, nigga, this is my first time out of Compton, and I'm realizing, like, nigga, everywhere I go, it's just like Compton. Like, the same shit goes on. So that's what he was really trying to tell people, like, you know, because he was really shocked. Like, damn, I'm over here, and these niggas is like, man, this shit just like Compton. You feel me? Niggas start realizing that, man. We all the same. You feel me? We just in different places.
Yeah, and you know what? City, like, yo, this the place is, Kaylee, like Kansas City, like, yeah, this the place for the Wizard of Oz. Ain't nothing going on like that.
Right. And you get off that plane and realize, nigga, it's going down just like that.
Look, Snoopy. A lot of
come out that plane looking like Will Dorothy.
But look, y'all, a lot of people don't understand that how, you know, basically when you, because in Chicago, which is not that far from St. Louis, you had the Vice Lords and the GDs, Gangsta Disciples, but then, you know, in the 90s, they would kind of end up coming, you know, like you have Vice Lords that are more, you know, affiliated with the Bloods, you know, People Nation. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you would have Crip with GD, you know, Folk Nation, you know, 5 and 6 Point Star. You know, that's some
right.
History right there. That's for another day. You know, but that's when you really started seeing those connections get deeper in terms of where, you know, in the Midwest, Nebraska, you know, even Utah, because you had a lot of those agents out there that would end up throwing up for the blue out there. You know,
right.
You know, it's really gotten all over the place. You are part of an exclusive fraternity of dope ass MCs right now, you know, in LA who are repping it. Like I said, Bryn Hurst, you got Lil Face, Cop Pistol Cree. I mean, you know, just so many of y'all, man, that a lot of people don't be knowing. I mean, and y'all, what is it about how y'all, because everybody will look at y'all as just, you know, initially as gangbangers, but when they look, but people really got to take time to listen to y'all music and understand you all are serious with it. Like, I mean, y'all really got
shit.
Some fire out there. Yeah.
Right.
What's the creative process for you and so many other artists out there in terms of really being able to articulate that? Like, for you, what is it? What's your creative process in terms of when you sit down to write and really want to put something together?
I let the music talk to me and I talk back. You know what I mean? And that's about it. Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm doing regular music. So I just sit down. I sit down and let the music talk to me, and I talk back, man. It's like it's a spiritual thing for me. It really ain't no whole lot of shit that a nigga got to do to get in the mood. It's just like, so when I hear the music, it talks to me, and I talk back. Whatever it tells me, I you know what I mean. I answer it. So it's a feeling for me.
Plus, it also comes with what's going on currently or the day or the current events.
Now, one thing about it. Go ahead, King.
Yeah, I was saying, like, plus, it also adds that, well, it also depends on what's going on with the current events and what's going on during the day. That could be also a big inspiration as well.
That plays a part in, I mean, I don't really rap about life, so it ain't really about, you know, politics. I mean, life is politics to me, you feel me? So I don't really rap about certain things, you know, and date my music, you know what I mean? Where it's like, you know that it's connected to certain things, you know what I mean, in time, because I do believe music is timeless.
Mm-hmm.
So I just rap about really what, you know, like I said, what comes to my heart, what's on my mind. I don't really, like I said, rap about certain political things, but then life is political. So in that aspect, I just address issues that I've been through, going through, or things that I've seen or experienced so that maybe I can reach somebody that's listening you know what I mean, to give them a different outlook on their situation, if I can put it like that.
Yeah. One of the songs years ago, Snoopy, when I first got familiar with you, Slapper, motherfucking you and Mac Lucci G'd up. I was like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, that's my guy. Shout out Mac Lucci, man. Built the ball. Yeah, that's my guy,
yeah,
man. I had hit him, you know. Like I say, that was one of them songs that just, like, you know, that nigga heard it. That nigga was like, that nigga, you know, did the little hook thing. And shit, I was already on my verse because that shit just, as soon as the beat come on, it just make you, you know what I'm saying? It make you want to dance and, you know, just bob, you know, hit your shoulders a little bit. You feel me? So it was just like I said, that shit just was spiritual. Like, you know, feel me? I feel like, you know, it's a gift from God what I do, and that's write music. You feel me? I call myself an artist, not a rapper, because I'm a fan of music, and I'm a part of this thing. You know what I mean? I'm a part of the choir. You know, so you know, it's a gift from God to be able to pen certain things. Now I know it might not look like it today because everybody feel that they can rap. You know, which you can. I mean, but the way that certain people do it, it's a gift. You feel me? Certain people got it, certain people don't.
Yeah. You and Mac are like two of the dopest, of course, and that really got me familiar with Mac more when I heard, you know, his joint Cali Life. Rest in peace to T.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, man, but it's like to really see what y'all were doing, because it's like, you know, one thing, you know, just the whole California movement of
it's
what
all,
y'all done, man.
Yeah, it's a whole authentic movement, too. There's nothing, nothing fabricated about it. That's why
California different, man. We different.
And I mean, to see, you know, the up-and-comers, you know, like AD, to see, you know, G. Perico, shout out Broadway, you know, I mean, to see Cam and John representing Inglewood.
He hard.
Yeah, I mean, so way out, you know what I'm saying? I mean, one thing about it is that, and I when I heard, you know, his joint on Crip Lives Matter with AD, I mean, G. Perico, for those that have not heard G. Perico and his joint to the left,
that young
all
dude
blue,
he's a monster.
I mean, look, I gotta spit it for the blue, man, in terms of, you know, giving tribute to y'all with his verse. He said, East side, west side, we the borderline. Blue, red, Broadway, gangsta till I die. I represent for all the Crips, every single rapper out there, been banging for all you niggas. G status, Big C status, Corbett, the Grand Coos, Chuck and Steve's the Trapper Boy, we true. Crip walking on the roof. Yeah. Everybody got guns just in case a motherfucker starts shooting. Mm-hmm. These entertainers want a game banger. You're going to have to catch a fade to come past. Crips run the city. Fuck the industry. LAPD is the motherfucking enemy. Tick, tock, Crip, walk. See right there, that's that Crip, tock, dip,
hey.
Stop. What can I say? Stop, Broadway.
Hey. Hey, man, you make that shit. Hey. If y'all never heard of G. Perico song, this nigga rap is so cool and likey, man. Like I said, G. Perico, I like him,
that's
man, because he a whole vibe. Like, you know what I mean? He in his own lane, and that's what I like, man. I like niggas that be themselves and stand out and be different, and he's one of them guys. He stands out. He in his own lane. He don't give a fuck. He rap about what he want to rap about. He rap what he, you know what I mean? He deliver his message, and I get it, and, you know, we from opposite sides of the tracks, you feel me? But I like him because he delivers that authentic, real West Coast shit. You feel me? Straight up. He in his own lane.
Now,
and he brings his own element, too, because, you know, he brings his own element to it, too, because a lot of this stuff ain't nothing new rap. It's just the way how you approach rap. And he brings a
different
flavor.
Exactly. You hit it right on the nose. Because a lot of people say, you know, like doggy style. You know what I mean? They give that authentic West Coast flavor. And like I said, man, California is a whole vibe, man. We got our own sound. But, you know, like I said, as music evolves, you know, everybody connect. Like, New York has their own sound. The South has their own sound. But now everybody uses each other's sound. So nothing is really authentic, you know what I mean? But then you do have those artists that stay true to the culture, you feel me? And, you know, they're perfect examples of people that's true to the West Coast culture, you know what I mean? It's a lot of people that people say the word West Coast beat, like they don't want to rap off a West Coast beat. Certain people want West Coast beats, you feel me? Because, like I said, it's the whole vibe. But, you know, music then evolved, and a lot of people detour from using the West Coast sound because it's not cool or it's not in. But it's gonna come. It's coming back around right now because we do have a sound that other people look at. It's like, man, it's like, you know, I think Battle Cat is one of the most amazing producers because he has a certain sound.
Yeah.
Kiki Loco, you
yeah.
feel me? Those two, Kiki Loco and Battle Cat, I put them together. Quick too, you feel me? But they got like this space age type of sound, you feel me? Like you can't get anywhere else, you feel me? And I love that shit, you feel me?
Yo, I mean, Snoopy, when you look
at he's one of the greatest.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you talk about Doggy Style, shout out San Bernardino, because King and myself are both big fans of him. I mean, Doggy Style is like really, really, really doing his thing, and you know, he's like, when he said "We Different," that was the first joint I ever heard from him. Then I heard that joint he did with California Gardens. For those that have not heard it, punch up Doggy Style and California Gardens. That is a posse cut for your ass from the OGs and the young G's. And I think that's why, you know. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was saying, not to mention the collabs that he did with Inhale, Nate Dogg's son as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's only right. I mean, they sound good together, man. Like I said, we got our own flavor, we got our own sound, and you know, it's coming back around, man. It's our time again, man. And you know, hopefully the crown stay over here a little bit longer than it did before. You know what I mean? And we can, you know, keep doing us. But yeah, man, you know, West Coast is making noise right now. It's a lot of good music coming out the West right now. It's a lot of you know, people getting along right now that probably didn't back in the days. You know, we had all the cliques and crews and, you know, record labels and beats and all that type of shit. But, you know, a lot of people is growing up and appreciating life. And the West is looking good right now, man, you know. Yeah. And we're going to have him on the show eventually. Stav did it. He's a collaborator with Doggy Style as well. That Italian is nasty on the mic. For those that ain't heard, Stav did it. You know, Stav is nice. One thing about tell us about what you got right now, moving Snoop, in terms of some of your projects, you know, currently that you're doing.
Well, right now I'm just going song for song, man. I'm just dropping songs. I'm not really focused on a whole album or project right now. I got a mixtape I've been sitting on. You know, just an old song sitting around. You know, I'm probably put out. But I got right now my latest single, Stop Playing, featuring Roscoe Lowe, Lady Trendsetter, T. Hottie. You feel me? That's making some noise. Video coming soon. Of course, I got Roses, which I dropped top of the year, one of my personal favorites, because I feel like, you know, people need to start appreciating people more. Letting them know, you know what I'm saying, you love them. You know what I mean? So people can feel that love while they're above ground, you feel me? I got Space Shipping.
Yeah.
And Everybody Can't Go. You know, you can look all those up. Those are available. Of course, I got, you know, my old shit that's available. And, I'm going to be dropping some new music before the year is up, you know. And I will most definitely put a project together probably by summer next year. But right now I'm just going song for song.
Yeah, man.
You have any work with Spider coming in?
Hell no. Nah. Nope. No.
Ooh. Well, that's definite, and we definitely don't want to. Obviously, you know. Yeah, definitely. It's like this.
Certain people, I'm a cool person, so I'm not a shit starter. I don't
understood
put people down to make myself feel good, to put myself on a pedestal. You know, I'm not a I'm a loyalist. You know what I'm saying? Loyalty means a lot to me. I'm not a backstabber. I don't talk behind people's back. So it's just certain people that I'm not going to interact with in life again because they be on bullshit, and I don't condone that shit, and I'm not with that shit. So I let people stay where they at in life, and I'll be on my journey. So there would be no music because Cuz is a shiesty, backstabbing, manipulative, bitch-ass nigga. And I can't fuck with Cuz.
Understood. Now, I want to ask you this, Doobie, in terms of how you feel how the music has been marketed lately. Because what you said about how anyone seems to just want to rap nowadays, how do you feel social media has played into it in terms of it? Because back in the day, you know, social media was there with MySpace and all of that, you know, going back to the years. And then, of course, so you, as a distinguished veteran in this, have seen social media as this move forward. So you're part of this, watching this evolution, this transition. In the industry at large, from the music that's marketed to how it is marketed, how do you feel about it today? How do you feel about it today in terms of what is being promoted and how a lot of kids are using social media to promote it?
Well, I don't like certain agendas that's being pushed, but really it's an open market right now. Like, you can pretty much promote whatever the fuck you wanted. Like, you can be Timbuktu and in the middle of nowhere, and you can put some shit out and have a million fucking people gravitating towards you. You know what I mean? Like, it's a free market right now. But as far as the masses and the powers that be, I don't like certain things that they're pushing. You feel me? But like I said, those are the powers that be, and that's that machine. So I don't agree with certain things, but, you know, most of this shit, people, you know, people market themselves, man, and that's the good thing about it. You really don't have to wait for no one to really push with you know, your shit. Like, if you know, into what you into, and you know what I'm saying, you want to push it, you can pretty much, you know, do what they do. It might not be at the level that they doing it, you know what I mean, because they probably got more people pushing buttons, but you can put yourself out there and, you know what I'm saying, talk to the world. So it's a good and a bad thing, you feel me?
Yeah. And I think more than anything, Blue, it's all about just everybody just being able to just let the music stand on its own, because we've just seen a lot of artists get out there on a lot of shenanigans, really not having what we would call as real talent, but just a lot of sensationalism with it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And to me, that sabotages it for artists like yourself with real talent who really, really, really dedicate themselves to this and are about the culture, man. What does hip hop mean to you in terms of, you know, what it just being a just doing it and just representing it in such a honorable and in such a real way?
Well, like I said, hip hop saved my life, man. It was like a way to it was a voice for people that really felt that they didn't have a voice. You know what I mean? Who's going to listen to us? Who wants to hear what the fuck I'm going through? Who wants to hear my problems? You feel me? It was an escape. You feel me? Like I said, it started on the block, probably with two brothers, you know what I mean, sitting around shooting the breeze, and they basically, you know, just started. It was a fun thing, man. You know what I mean? Like playing the game of spades and domino, you feel me? But then, you know, like I said, once anything, you know what I mean, gets, you know what I mean, snatched up and marketed and, you know what I mean, put in a box, then, you know, it switches the whole game up. But hip-hop mean a lot to me. Like, even today, like, I mean, I don't care. Like, whatever you're going through, like, you might want to clean up the house. You're going to throw on music. Like, music is universal. You know what I mean? It soothes you. It pats you on the back. It's your shoulder when you need it. You know what I mean? It's everything. So it's a lifesaver. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I love all kinds of music, you know what I mean? On a Sunday, you know what I'm saying, morning, I'm throwing on gospel, you know what I mean? And, you know, thanking God for you know, still being here to do the things that, first of all, he need me to do, but also just here to enjoy life. You feel me? So you throw music on for different situations, but at the end of the day, the whole world is about music. You feel me? Your heart beats. You know what I mean? That's music. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's life.
And you know what Tupac said it best. Tupac said it best. He said, the music is the father of the people that don't have daddy.
True that. True that.
And one thing about it, Snoopy, is that you are a father, you're a family man. What is it like as you've gotten older in terms of just really being, you know, seeing, you know, your children grow up and just really like, you know, thinking about, wow, you know, I'm not only doing this for myself, but I'm doing this for them as well.
Yeah, I mean, it took me a while to grow up, you feel me? But once I started, you know, I would say appreciating life, you know what I mean? You know, we we're not through the pandemic yet, but, you know, we had this whole pandemic thing. On top of the shit that was already going on in the world, you know, the gang bang in the streets, the killings, the, you know, all this type of shit. So as you seeing, excuse me, more and more people die, you know what I mean? You should start appreciating life more, you know what I mean? Start appreciating the simple things, you know what I mean? Take the time to smell the roses, you know what I mean? So, you know, once I start realizing certain shit, like, you know what? I'm so worried about death. I need to live because death is going to come for everybody one day. That's something that you really don't have to worry about. Like, you're going to die one day. So are you going to stress over it? Are you going to rush yourself there? Or are you going to enjoy the life that you have? So I started really enjoying, like, appreciating life, man, especially, you know what I'm saying, survive being shot, surviving open-heart surgery, surviving gangbanging, you know what I mean, all these different things. It made me really just – I start appreciating life and realizing you only get one shot at this thing. Like, you feel me? So appreciate it. Because once you know what I'm saying? Once you close your eyes are closed forever. There's no coming back. You feel me?
And Snoopy,
it's over.
And Snoopy, when you mentioned your open heart surgery, that is especially poignant for you because they found cancer during your surgery, I believe. Did they not?
No, it wasn't cancerous. That's why I had the surgery so that they could see if it was cancerous or not. But no, I had a tumor on my heart, you feel me? And yeah, that shit was scary, man, because like I said, I got shot. So when I'm in the hospital, for one thing, where I had got shot at and where the bullet traveled, it had, you know, hit me in the back, pierced my lung, so to do an X-ray on my chest. So when they did that X-ray on my chest, that's when they seen something that wasn't normal. So they're like,
right.
Well, you know, I'm in there like, okay, I survived this. And then, you know, imagine the doctor coming in the room and saying, well, you know, we found this and we need to. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you know, I'm still consider myself a young man. I'm thinking open heart surgery was a old person thing. Like, you feel me? So it's like, what? Like, what? So, like I said, I'm going back and forth to the doctor taking, you know, different little tests and shit. And, you know, they like, you know, you got a tumor in your heart. We don't know what it is, you know, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that, but we need to get it out. You know what I mean? So it was like really a blessing being shot because I wouldn't have even knew about the tumor. I just would have been probably on the phone talking to y'all or talking to somebody and just dropped dead. Nobody would ever knew. You feel me? So, yeah, they removed it. You know, thank God it wasn't cancerous. You feel me? But, you know, the surgery was a success. And here I am. You know, so that, like I said, those are things that make you really appreciate life. You know what I mean? When you think you're about to die or you don't know if you're going to die, you start appreciating shit. You feel me? And like I said, I started like, you know what? I'm out here, you know, I dedicated my life to the streets. I'm out here fighting. I'm out here involved in this bullshit and that bullshit. And it's like, man, what are you living for? So like I said, when life really came to a halt and it's like, nigga, this might be it. What do you have to look back on? What legacy have you left? And it was nothing but drama and bullshit. It was like, man, let me switch this shit up. You feel me? Let me leave something positive behind. You feel me? When they mention my name, they can mention something good. You know what I mean? It won't be all bad. Like, you know what I mean? So, like I said, that shit was scary. But, you know, I'm a praying man. I'm a strong believer in God. He brought me through it. And like I said, here I am. He got work for me to do.
For those that get into the music business,
amen to that testimony.
Amen. And we're so glad to have you with us to tell your testimony, man. One thing about it, Snoopy, is that this game of music in general is you got to be prepared for the long haul. What would you tell artists coming into it in terms of what they have to expect, whether they're on a major label or doing an independent hustle? What does this game mean in terms of the discipline, the desire, dedication, and everything that goes into doing this to be successful?
I'm going to say learn the business, man, because if you learn the business, that'll be less stress that you got to worry about, less fuckery you got to worry about, and you'll be on top of your shit, man. That's one thing that I've been learning, and I got good people that tell me the right things, you know what I mean? Shout out Jazzy Management, you feel me? I really don't want to do the name drop thing, but, you know, shout out Jazzy. He knows a lot about the business. And listen to what he got to say. You might learn something. But, yeah, just learn the business, man. Know what you're getting into. Learn about the paperwork and the percentages and, you know, all the things that goes along behind the scenes of being an artist. You feel me? You should know your shit. And not depend on nobody else to know it for you. Because 9 times out of 10, they not going to know shit. They just going to act like they do.
How important is it to have a strong team behind you in terms of your management and your lawyer and just all of that in terms of having people around you who really share your vision and want to see you win?
I mean, all those things are important, but like I said, learn the business, man. You know, in order to have a manager, you have to have something to manage. So if you don't have nothing to manage, what the fuck you got a manager for? Like, you feel me? So people be having just, like I said, people will sell you a dream if you let them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, if you ain't got nothing to manage, there's no need for a manager. So like I said, he don't even know what the fuck to do. Because if he did, then, you know. So you can basically do the shit yourself. When you have something to manage, then you are paying the manager. When you got something on the table, then you get a lawyer. If you got all these things and nothing is, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you have it for nothing. Like, you know what I mean? If it's nothing to manage, then what do you have a manager for? I mean, I don't understand that. But, you know,
they just want the title. They just want the title.
Yeah, I mean, and they're probably not even managed material. Like, what do you know about managing? Like, you feel me? You probably don't even know shit about managing. Like, people think because, oh, you took me somewhere and introduced, like, oh, well, you're going to be my manager because you know a lot of people. Well, nigga, that don't qualify you as a manager. You just know a lot of people, nigga. The fuck, like, you know what I mean? Like I said, people really don't be knowing. They're not even qualified for the job. They just give themselves a title to make it look good and sound good, and you know that's what it is. But I've been through all that. You know what I mean? I didn't have to fake managers and I'm gonna do this for you and all that. And like I said, in all honesty, they really don't know shit. You feel me? And if you knew the little shit that, if I knew some of the shit that I knew today back then you know. And like I said, it's still a learning process, but I don't give fake titles to people that's not qualified to, you know what I mean? I wouldn't hire a plumber to come lay my fucking flooring in my house. Like, you know what I mean? You're a plumber. You don't know shit about laying tiles. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like.
That's a deep analogy, Snoopy, because a lot of times, one thing about it, you know, my brother and me, we've been doing this for some years. King is an accomplished journalist. I'm a lifelong hip-hop nerd. We're the Hall of Nash of this, you know. So it's like we really understand, you know, and we see how these things work, where especially on social media, you got a lot of these artists out here now that are really trying to act like they're really somebody out there. And it's like they haven't even put in the work in yet, you know, but their thing, to hear them tell it, they're just the dopest artist. You know, and they got all of this, but it's like, go ahead.
That's because the fame came before the success, you know what I mean? People, it's like, do you want the fame or do you want to be successful? You know what I mean? I want to be successful. Like, you can have all this fame, because fame don't pay the bills. You know what I mean? Some people get the fame and go to their head. Some people get the fame, and that's enough for them. You feel me? But like I said, I want to be successful, not famous. Like, you know, so, yeah, people, you know, and then like I said, the whole internet thing today, you know, you can really embellish shit. Like, you know what I mean? That's what it's for. You know what I mean? And really, you're supposed to embellish shit. You know what I mean? If you paint a picture, writing a movie, writing a song, writing a whatever, you're supposed to embellish shit. You feel me? So, you know what I mean? That's like when actors, you know what I mean? Before they go on, you know, do they roles or whatever, they're in the makeup room. You know what I mean? They're covering up the blemishes and the flaws. You know what I mean? They're trying to make shit look perfect.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, you know, people put a Band-Aid on it and think they, you know, the shit is fixed. When really it's just like, you know, they be stuck on the embellishment, and then they start believing that shit they self. You know what I mean? It's just like, man, are you stuck in fantasy land or are you in reality? You know what I mean?
they start becoming like Heath Ledger. They start believing they the Joker out there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, take that cape off, man. You really can't fly. Like, it's just a cape, man. It's for the show. You really can't jump off the roof. Like, you know what I mean? You're gonna die.
Yeah, and that's real out there, man, because like you said, Snoop, I mean, the jewels you dropped in this interview, man, we just absorbed it and just, you know, I mean, it's so polished. It's so real because like you said, man, you know, a lot of people get the fame, you know, they just are known, but they haven't become successful, but everybody thinks that that's being successful. I'm like, listen, just because you have notoriety, that does not dementia you as being legitimate in terms of being I mean, you know, King and myself, we talk about this on the show all the time about how a lot of these artists, once again, shout out to HBO for doing that documentary on social media about how a lot of people, be it like you said, embellishing their numbers on social media. But it's like when it's time for them to do a show or whatever, they talk about how they got 53,000 followers or whatever, but when they do a show, they only got like a little bit of people.
45.
There.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my people that follow me on Instagram, my page had got hacked earlier this year. You know what I mean? I was probably like 17,000 followers or some shit like that. Right now, I'm probably at about 2,000 followers. And I had somebody hit me up like, hey, man, I can get your, you know, your followers. And I'm like, well, how? And I'm like, once they explain it to me, I'm like, oh, nah, hell no. I'm like, man, I want my shit organic. Like, I'm cool because I'm not trying to impress nobody. Like, I don't need the fake. Like, I'm not a fake person. I don't need the fake shit. I'm going to let my shit grow naturally like it did before. And it might take a little time, but, you know, they're going to come back. But like I said, a lot of people are for the show. They want to seem like this and that when it's like reality going to show it, you know, itself. You know what I'm saying? What's done in the dark going to come into light. So you, like, you front like you got a million followers. But like you said, you got a show and only five people showed up. It's just like that shit don't even equal out. You know what I mean? So I'm not, you know, yeah, people, like I said, people embellish shit. I'm not one of those people because at the end of the day, like I said, music, you know, is my life. So if I reach one or two people, I'm satisfied. I did my job. You understand? I'm not trying to sell nobody no fantasy. Like I said, this is a gift from God to where really I'm trying to reach some probably the normal person couldn't reach, and maybe I can help them along in life. And if I did that, then I did my job, you know. So
yeah, you know,
and
you know, people
are to be
for
to save lives.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one thing about it too, man. You know, is that you're doing something right, man, because we've been rocking with you for a while, and you know, we on this show, we feel so honored and privileged to do it, you know, because we do this from an independent level. So anytime we have guests we reach out to and they say yes, we're always grateful, we're humbled, we're appreciative, you know, because it's like part of what we do is we want to give flowers to those that are out there doing it. We don't care whether you've sold 100 albums or a million albums. If you got dope shit, we want to support. And with you being on the show, Snoopy, we want to support you in terms of you being on the show, letting you know how much we appreciate you putting it down, you know. But your coach,
absolutely.
Your set, you know, your family and for the culture, most importantly, man. You are a gift for this, man. You have a gift, and we're all the more richer in the world for you sharing your gift with us.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
Definitely. I mean, so down the line, who would you like to work with in terms of maybe doing possible collaborations with?
Well, that's a lot of people. I mean, I really won't name drop because I don't want to leave nobody out or make some, you know, make somebody seem like. But I'm working with a lot of people already, so you know what I mean.
Okay. Really, okay.
You know what I mean? It's a lot. Like I said, it's a lot of people that I would love to work with. You know what I mean? There's really no limitations. You know what I mean? Rap, R&B. All that. I'm a fan of music, so anything that sounds good or can possibly sound good, I'm open to it.
Yeah,
that's
man.
What it is. That's what it is, and you know, Ed, we probably about to all wrap this thing up shortly. Do you have any shout outs you want to give out?
Man, shout out to anybody listening right now, man. If you breathing, you able to. You know, here, walk around, man, roses, man, roses. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Mac Lucy, shout out Tiki Loco, shout out T High, you know what I'm saying? Rascal Loke, Lady Trendsetter, Compton Menace, you know what I'm saying? All my niggas, Big to the Boy, everybody that I fuck with, everybody that rocking me. You know what I mean? Shout out everybody, man, California, New York, everybody, man, the whole world, man. Like I said, if you alive, man, roses.
Definitely.
Yeah, and also, man,
Snoopy.
If you have any other more music to send us, man, we'll definitely promote that, man. You know, just hit us in the DM and we'll get it out there.
Oh, definitely, yeah, y'all going to be hearing some, before the year is up, y'all probably going to hear maybe, shit, about 20 more songs. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm just dropping singles right now, man. I'm just really having fun, man. Just like really, like I said, I love music, so y'all going to be hearing a lot more. But go get that Stop Playing. That's out right now. Go get that Roses, Space Shipping, and Everybody Can Go on all digital platforms. It's the low, baby.
Definitely, man. Look, Snoopy, you know you're welcome back anytime on the show, man. We've enjoyed having you. Thank you for the gems you've given us, the genius.
Definitely.
You know, keep putting it down for your hood all over, man. You know, we've enjoyed this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, well, appreciate y'all for having me, man. Shout out to y'all. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate the invite. Anytime my voice can be heard, shit, I appreciate it, man. I'm open to it. You know what I mean? That's it, man.
That's what it is, man. So, yeah, man. Big shout out to you, man. Be sure to follow and check out Snoopy Blues Music on all platforms. And we up
yeah,
out
yeah,
here.
And follow my new Instagram. Follow my new Instagram, Snoopy Blue the Loke. Like I said, my page had got hacked earlier this year, the real Snoopy Blue, but I'm still on there. I don't have any other social media. I repeat, I do. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on none of that shit. So if somebody's going, you know, because they got a lot of fake pages, that is not me. I have one Instagram, and that is Snoopy Blue the Loke. Follow up.
Gotcha.
Tap in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, man. And once again, another excellent episode. OTC up in the building. Shout out to the bluest bloke with the most, Snoopy Blue, keeping it true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And follow an artist for me, y'all. Snoop.
Sure.
Follow one more thing, man. Tap
sure.
in. Follow DeMontre the Great. Check out his music. Check out his videos. Up and coming artists. He ain't on no bullshit. Check out his music, y'all. It's a breath of fresh air. Trust me.
Already on it. Yeah, we see him. Yeah, man. All right, so
I just went on
the joint. Yeah, I see you. I see you following. But yeah, man. So DC, yeah, Dream, Three. Yeah, I see him. So yeah, I'm already following him, man. So yeah, we happy.
Okay,
you know,
yeah, DeMontre the Great.
Yes, sir. So anybody you got for us, you know, you want to bring, you know, you want to tell them come by the show, please do. You know, we, you know, you're going to be hearing from us, you know, supporting on your page and all that, man. And once again, you know, we're happy to support. We're going to continue supporting.
Yes, sir, man. Like I said, appreciate y'all. And I'm definitely going to follow up, you know, the new shit drop. Oh, yeah, I also got something else we working on, Birth of a Crip, the Raymond Washington story. Shout out. You know, two of Raymond Washington kids, Lil Raymond Washington and Ray Ray, Daytona Gold, Bronco the Great. We got a single and video coming out outside of, they got a documentary coming out about his life, but we did the song, you feel me, entitled Birth of a Crip in honor of Raymond Washington. So y'all be on the lookout for that also.
Understood, and you said that's from outside the documentary. Got you, so totally separate. Got you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Shout out Kenya, though. Kenya, that's her baby, you know what I'm saying? She overseeing the documentary, so shout out Kenya. But, yeah, you know, just so it won't be confused, you know what I mean? I don't want, you know what I mean? We're trying to, you know, get it part of, but, you know, we're basically working with the family, and we created this song to just tell the, you know, the raw and uncut East Side story of Raymond Washington, you know what I mean? So, like I said, that's outside of what Kenya's doing, but we are a part of that also, you know, because that's his kids. So, of course, they're a part of, you know, the documentary that's coming out. But I'm just saying we have a single coming out, you know what I mean,
good.
That's going coming from the street side, you know what I mean?
Definitely. Shout out to King Aware, of course, you know, who's directing that, you know, with her, you know. So, yeah, man. So as we close this out, another chapter in the book, you know, and, you know, give us, you know, for all of our listeners out there, next Friday, you know, this coming Friday, give us that look. We coming back again. And on that, we out.
Yeah. Peace.
Peace.